I am Bryn Poland, and I am one of the co-chairs along with Elisa Rainey. And it's my pleasure this morning to serve as presiding officer and introduce this morning's speakers. I always love to be the presiding officer on Thursday morning because I love to introduce Molly. It's such a good way to start the conference, and I always learn something from Molly's presentation. So first, we will be hearing from Molly Deer Abshire. Molly hails from Bel Air, Texas. She has authored professional papers and Houston Chronicle articles for quite some time. She is a former president of the Texas chapter of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys. She co-authors a column in the Houston Chronicle called Senior Living and is a regular speaker here at this conference and also many other conferences and on topics like special needs trust and elder law issues. And so please help me welcome Molly Abshire.
Thanks, Bryn. And if anyone who really knows me knows that I live in Bel Air, Texas, but I hail from East Texas, and you should be able to tell by this accent, right? Okay, let's see if I can. Okay. So this morning, my presentation today will be a basic review for many of you who have attended this UT-SNT seminar in the past. And for those that are new to the practice of law or who have attended this for the first time, this is a basic roadmap giving you all of the basics of S&T planning and hopefully tweaking your interest for more in-depth discussions that you will hear later this afternoon and tomorrow. So we'll talk a little bit about the overview and the use of S&Ts. We'll discuss public benefits because you can't really talk about S&Ts without knowing what you're using them for, right? So that's going to be a big chunk of what we talk about this morning. How these trusts affect Medicaid eligibility, knowing which trust to pick. Are we picking a first-party trust, a self-settled trust, or are our clients family members and we're tucking a third-party trust inside a will? And then we'll also talk a little bit about planning opportunities at the end or how to use the S&T for your practice for the best benefit of your clients. So let's start off with planning for trust. If your background is estate planning, and many of us, that's exactly where we came from, then we're familiar with the use of trusts in various ways. We might be used to drafting testamentary trust or inter vivos trust, lifetime trust for children, creditor protection trust, bypass trust, marital trust planning. All of those are things that we're very familiar with. Irrevocable life insurance trusts are coming back in vogue with the exemption going down. So the type of trust that we're picking is determined by the specific goals that we're trying to achieve for our client. Why do we typically use trusts in our planning? Well, the word that comes to my mind is protection. So we're trying to protect the client from themselves, right? Maybe they're a spendthrift and we're doing a lifetime children's trust. Maybe there is some sort of diminished capacity and we're protecting the client from themselves from exploitation. Perhaps we're protecting the estate from being counted as an estate asset. We're protecting the estate from estate taxes. Maybe we're protecting the estate from future creditors. So the funds that you're leaving, that your client is leaving their family will be there for the long haul. These are all reasons that we use trusts, right? So when we use special needs trusts, we're also protecting someone. We're protecting a very vulnerable member of our society. And how are we protecting them? Well, we're protecting them by maintaining, allowing them to be eligible for governmental benefits. We're allowing them to maintain the governmental benefits they either have now or they might have in the future. The protection that we're offering is we're allowing the funds that they either have received from a third party or that they have earned themselves or received through a lawsuit, we're protecting those funds from being counted as a countable resource that is available to the trust beneficiary by a public's benefits agency. So the way I think of it, we're really putting a firewall around those assets. And when we put that firewall around those assets, it protects our client because they can become eligible for the benefit that they so desperately need.